Hi friends, welcome back to Garden Convos. I'm your host Laura Sofia Enciso, aka Laura, and today we're going to be talking about making peace with your past. And this kind of goes along with many of the themes that we've talked about in previous episodes, but specifically my episode about understanding trauma. I think part of that discussion is also understanding how to make peace with your past, because even if you didn't necessarily have an extremely traumatic experience, we all have stuff from our past that is very difficult to heal from or just be able to even talk about without having, you know, feelings of stress, overwhelm, whatever the emotion may be that is tied to those memories. And I think especially when it comes to mental health, we're supposed to be able to truly live in the present. And this idea of mindfulness and so many other practices in mental health, I think, really boil down to this idea of, have you made peace with your past so you can have peace in your present? Because if there's unresolved stuff from your past, or you can't share your testimony without, you know, getting all heated up or broken down, then there's certain things that you take to the Lord and ask him to help you heal from. And I want to discuss what that looks like, because I know just praying about it doesn't really depict what that consists of. And also, it is a process. It's not supposed to be the week after something happens that you're healed from it. And a lot of times we suppress things and we don't realize that, oh, I actually never healed from that, and that's why I can't approach relationship in the right way because of that, you know? So these are different examples of how when we don't have a good relationship with our past, and what I'm saying too is that even if it was a really bad past, whatever that consists of bad experiences, there's still a way of having peace regarding that without agreeing with it. Because you can have peace over something and still disagree with the fact that it happened. And I think we talked a lot about that in the trauma episode, about how it's important to validate the fact that, okay, this really negative experience was not necessarily supposed to happen, but God is still going to use it, and I can still make peace with it while validating the fact that, like, it's not okay that this happened. And so before we get into the scripture and this conversation, I like to always make my disclaimer that if this is your first time listening, I'm a counseling student. I'm not a therapist yet. And even then, these episodes are made to be a space for us to have biblically and mental health informed conversations. And they're not meant to replace therapy or clinical advice, but I will be drawing upon a lot of my knowledge that I've gotten through grad school in order to be able to have an educated conversation and not just share my feelings or emotions. I really do want the conversations that are on this podcast to be edifying, to be fruitful, regardless of what your own background is, but also transparent about the fact that all of these things are being fact-checked and just looked at through the lens of the Bible and through the Holy Spirit, because obviously not every single thing is in the Bible literally for word, but there's so many things that through the Holy Spirit we can interpret from the scriptures and use discernment in order to draw practical wisdom from. So that's my little disclaimer, but I'm so excited for this episode because I really, honestly, making peace with your past is so difficult, because there's certain things where we're like, oh yeah, we're over that, we're good, we can talk about that. And then I think we all have these different areas in our life where they're just like those hard spots where it's like, okay, that that's hard to talk about. It's like these sensitive areas that can trigger a lot of feelings and emotions. And I think you can heal from something and still have an emotional reaction to it, but it really depends to what degree that emotional reaction is. And when you really are walking in peace and have the things in your past settled with, they really shouldn't be sparking up anything in you that is causing instability or just a over the top emotional reaction, if that makes sense. And a lot of this too, I'm discussing in terms of just past negative experiences. When it comes to trauma, I do believe you should get therapy for that and have like a more specialized process of processing that trauma. But I think a lot of times in general, if you don't have a specific traumatic event, you can work with the Lord and through stuff like this, like education, to figure out, okay, how do I personally make peace with my past? Because I don't necessarily think you always need a professional for this. Does it help? For sure. But I also think this is something that you can do with the Lord. Like, you have access to God just as much as I do. So I never want anyone to hear this and to think, oh, well, I don't even have the resources for that. It's like, if you have yourself and a Bible, like, you have everything you need, because God will encounter you when you seek and ask. And so to start off, I thought of this topic and I was just thinking of all the things we hear about, you know, forgiving but not forgetting, and you know, you're a survivor, you're not a victim, and all these different things about how do you make peace with your past. And I think a lot of those things are good, but most of all, I think we have to ask ourselves, where is our peace coming from? And if it's coming from worldly things or even ourselves, you're only going to have a limited capacity of love. You're going to have a limited capacity of peace, of joy, of all these different things. And so I think when it comes to making peace with our past, the first scripture that came to mind was in 1 Corinthians 13, where it's the passage about love and what love looks like. And within that, it says that love does not insist on its own way, and it is not irritable or resentful. And within that, resentful could mean it does not count up wrongdoing. Because when you're resenting something, you know, you're keeping this track of like, oh, well, this happened and that happened. And so many times we hear that as love keeps no record of wrongs. And that is something that has just always stuck with me, because there's so much freedom in not having to keep a tally mark, whether it's on yourself or other people in your past, because making peace with your past is not just a matter of forgiving the people that hurt you or the circumstances that hurt you and letting that go. It's also forgiving your old self, forgiving the old version of you within the context of that situation, and being able to love yourself fully today within the fact that those things happened and that was real and that was part of your story, but it's not who you are. And so I just want to encourage you with that, that God encourages us to not keep record of wrongs, because he's not doing that with us. And as much as I think a lot of religious cultures try to make it out to be as if God is keeping track of all the ways we've done terrible things, and it's like, no, if that was the case, why did Jesus go on the cross? And so we need to realize, okay, if he's not keeping record of wrongs, then I shouldn't either, not for anyone else and not for myself. And it's difficult because I don't think I've learned how to forgive someone truthfully until I understood for myself what Jesus going on the cross meant. And it meant that he was willing to take the wages of sin, which is death, onto himself so I wouldn't have to experience that. And he wasn't keeping a tally mark, but he was just seeing me from my heart and saying, like, you're worthy. You're worthy to die for. And so I'm going on that cross for you. And to literally take time to reflect and spend time with God and say, like, he would have gone on that cross even if it was just for you. Thankfully, it was for all of us so that we could all come to know the Lord. But think about the fact that he personally thought of you. He did. And as crazy as that sounds, like, that's the truth and the reality. And so why do we have this double standard of, oh yeah, God forgives me, but yeah, that person that broke my heart 5 years ago, you know, I'm still holding this grudge against them, or my parent that didn't parent me well and now wants to be in my life, I'm still going to be resentful. And it's like, I know there's stickiness to all of these situations and there's context and other things going on, but at the end of the day, love is so powerful that it covers a multitude of sins. And we have to stop acting so self-righteous or entitled that we can't forgive someone, even if they did treat us wrong, even if they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Like I said, as a parent, as a sibling, as a mentor, whatever it is that's popping up in your mind when you think of making peace with the most difficult parts of your past, it's like we have to remember the cross. And that's why we're called to die to ourselves daily. And I did an episode about this because it just formed the foundation for topics like this to come up, in the sense that when you have died to yourself, it's so much more easier to forgive someone and feel free from your past, because you recognize, oh, that was my old self. Like, that was my old self, me in the flesh, not knowing the Lord, and it's in the past. And thank God I've been forgiven. And it's not because I deserved it, but because He paid the price for me. And I don't want to take advantage of that. And so I'm going to live in joy now, because that's the thing too. If we get so caught up on the other side of the spectrum, which there's self-righteousness and ego and all of this, but then the other side of the spectrum is shame and hating ourselves and feeling so guilty that we're like paralyzed by it. There's no fruit in either of these extremes, because if you're on that low end of the spectrum, you're not allowing yourself to see yourself how Christ does. He does see you as valuable and as worthy. And in fact, your past is now a testimony. So how beautiful is it that He uses that? And obviously in the moment, it's not going to feel like, oh, this is going to be a great testimony as you're bawling your eyes out. Obviously not. But with time, with healing, with growth, with spiritual maturity, with accountability, all of these different things that come as you grow more spiritually mature in this walk, you're going to be able to share that testimony, and it's not going to hit you the same way it used to, because you're operating out of a place of peace, because peace resides in you through the Holy Spirit. And so we need to see peace as this tangible thing and know that we are abounding in love and in steadfastness. And so we don't have to keep records of wrong. And it's hard because that feeds our egos, but we're not called to feed our egos. We're called to be disciplined in loving and forgiving others, because that's opposite of what the world does. The world is going to tell you, oh, they did that to you, you strike them back twice as hard, you know, or you get revenge, or you make sure you get to the top and that everyone can glorify you and prove them wrong. And it's such a selfish mentality that is exhausting, truthfully, because when you try and do it that route, you just find, man, like, this isn't as fulfilling as you thought it would be. And I feel like that's so often depicted in movies and all of these things, where it's like, okay, actually you trying to get revenge and do things your own way is not fulfilling, versus you acting out of love and saying, look, Christ extended grace for me, so I'm going to do that for you. And being able to give even when people don't deserve it, and making peace, because if anything, you're letting all of these circumstances and resentfulness or pain, whatever it is, take up and occupy space in your mind, where instead you could be focusing on what's lovely, what's pure, what's kind, what's good, things that are actually going to bring you joy, and it's not going to be dependent on circumstances. And so with that, I wanted to share in the story of Hosea, which I know I've mentioned before, but if you've never read it, please do. Definitely don't have time to dissect it fully, but I love this book because it just paints this beautiful picture of how God is so faithful despite our unfaithfulness. And you might say, okay, what does that have to do with your past and making peace with it? And I would say it has everything to do with it, because when we look back at those moments that hurt the most, or that we wish weren't a part of our stories, can we see that He's been faithful through it all? Can we see that He still is waiting for us to return? He's still waiting for us to experience the fullness of His love. And in this story, like, Hosea has a wife who is adulterous and just totally unfaithful, in the same way that we are unfaithful to God. You know, it's painting this metaphor, and it talks about how She will pursue her lovers, but not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. And then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold. And so what this is referring to, it's this metaphor of Hosea being like God, and we are like Hosea's wife in our unfaithfulness. And I specifically read this. It's chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. I read this because can we recognize, looking back in our past, that it was God who gave us the grain, the wine, the oil, and who lavished on us silver and gold? Like, can we recognize the blessings in our life are from the Lord? Can we recognize the fact that He has been faithful even in our worst seasons? Because there's so much we don't see in the spiritual world that we're protected from. And it's a crazy thought, but it's true. We don't realize that we could have died who knows what day, but His hand is on our life and He has something greater for us. And it takes faith, because it's not this practical thing that makes sense, or else it wouldn't be faith. But to see these biblical illustrations of, wow, imagine going and still pursuing someone who was cheating on you, who's being unfaithful, who was not valuing you. We, in this world, we're like, cut them off, which, like, yes, makes sense to some degree. But when it comes to a biblical approach, especially with our past, it's like, no, see how He's been faithful. Forgive them. Forgive the circumstance. Forgive your parents. Forgive the people that hurt you, that stabbed you in the back. Like, forgive them, because you've been forgiven. And when you forgive much, you love much. And so I just want to emphasize this point that His hand has been in it through it all. And beyond this, in the book of Joel, it talks about how God restores. He restores the things that were lost. Specifically in chapter 2, verse 25, God says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Amen. This is so beautiful, and this is something that I honestly hadn't read the book of Joel until, I want to say, 2 years ago, last year, something like that. And it's a super small book, so I recommend. It's one of the shortest books. And it's just this section about the fact that, replace it with whatever it is that you feel was taken from you in the past, or that you feel is never going to be restored or amendable, and see that, like, God keeps His promises, and He says He will restore. And the thing is that He doesn't just restore to, like, the bare minimum. We're actually going to eat in plenty, and we're going to be satisfied, and we're going to know that He dealt wondrously with us. Like, that is the most affirming thing to ever know, is that, okay, my God keeps promises, and that He's not just going to do the bare minimum and keep me safe, or help me recover from my past, or help me have a good relationship with my past. He actually promises you a fruitful future. And so when we're in this process of, in our own time with God, coming to Him with our insecurities, the things that keep us up at night, the things that have hurt us from our past, the things that are hard to talk about, when we bring these things to Him, when we ask Him to heal that and to help us through it, we're going to see that not only is He going to heal you from that so that you can have peace, He's going to give you hope for the future, because God is a God of abundance. He doesn't just want you to have enough. He is going to continue to provide an overflow. And it's out of this overflow that we step into all that the Holy Spirit has for us, like, on this earth. Because I think a lot of times people are just like, oh, well, you know, I'll just wait until heaven to fully feel joy, or to fully whatever. And it's like, we don't have to wait until heaven. We can choose now to live in that abundance, but it takes a process. It takes, one, making peace with your past, healing from it, forgiving others, forgiving yourself, seeing God rightly so you can see yourself rightly. And then He will not just heal you from that, but he will instill hope for your future. He will instill hope for what's to come according to his will, not just your own plans and your own desires, but I promise you that through this process, he's sharpening your desires and aligning them to look like his. And that's the beautiful part, because we don't have to ask, oh, what does God desire for me? Like, you start getting so in tune with the Spirit that you will be able to discern this is the Lord's will or this isn't. And so before I leave y'all, I want to leave you guys with this last scripture in Luke 11. And it's talking about how Jesus says that all we need to do, and it is our responsibility to ask, to seek, to knock. And especially in this process of making peace with your past, it's not just like you wake up one day and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to let that thing bother me anymore. Or I'm not going to let that insecurity be a thing anymore. That would be great if it was that easy, but it's not. It takes a process of spending time in prayer and with the word of God, which is literally a sword. Like, you take this to war, and this is why we talk about things like spiritual warfare, because things from your past will try and torment you if you do not heal from it and have the right relationship with it. Because the enemy, if he can't have you turn away from God, he will distract you, and will distract you with your past, distract you with things, not even new things, old things coming back. And so we need to armor ourselves through the word of God. And it says here, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. So not only do we get access to the Holy Spirit, but through the Holy Spirit, we can have an advocate and like a counselor through the process of healing from our past. And so I want to encourage you with this, that it's not a matter of just realizing that something happened and that you should be okay by now and just letting it go. That is surface level healing. Surface level healing is just saying like, yeah, that was my bad, or, you know, those weren't good people and that's why that happened to me, but it's in the past now, I'm good, and that's it. And so many of us operate from that, and I get it, because sometimes we're in survival mode and we don't have the time to process, or else we will break down and all of these things. But if you're in a place where you know the Lord and you know that he is calling you to genuinely make peace with your past, because you don't know how he wants to use that. You don't know what person is currently walking through things that you walked through in the past that needs your mentorship, that needs your discipleship. And so we need to get out of this self-help mindset. And it's actually like, how can I minister to others? Because it's no longer just about you and you being healthy. How can I actually build up my brothers and sisters in Christ? And even people who don't know the word of God, like you, your testimony could impact someone's salvation more than you even know. Like, it could be the seed that leads to that fruit of them choosing to live for Christ. And so these aren't things to be taken lightly, but we're called to truthfully pursue these things. And so with that, I just want to encourage you that you can choose what you want to do with your past. You can choose to heal from it and work and operate out of a healthy place, or you can choose to live with it and not talk about things that didn't happen. But the reality is that your past will come up in one way or another. And if you've actually healed from it, you'll be able to talk about it in a way that is edifying and fruitful, rather than a way that is defensive or resentful or any of those things. And so I just hope that this encourages you to see that we don't have to generalize even the negative things that happen to us to future things. Because so many times for me, I would be like, oh, well, this relationship went wrong because of this and that. And so, you know, now I'm not going to be able to trust someone in a relationship, and all guys are like X, Y, and Z. whatever it is, fill in your blank for your circumstance. And the issue is with that is that I was creating basically cognitive distortions because they were things that didn't match up to reality. Ask yourself, okay, is this actually a realistic thing? Or am I generalizing my one experience in the past to every future circumstance that is possible to come? And that's the issue. And if you do realize that, oh, I actually have a lot of cognitive distortions and things that, you know, I just have faulty beliefs that I'm struggling with and I know aren't right, but I don't know how to work through them, then go to therapy. Seriously, because it will bring so much fruit and clarity. And so I think, yes, partner with the Lord on these things. But also if you do feel like you need more help, that's biblical as well. Seek counsel, seek wisdom. We're called to do that. And so I just want to encourage you that you have those options. And yeah, you can choose really what you make out of this. And the Lord does have so much for your future. Wherever you're at in life, there is more, but He also wants you to be able to be at a place where you truly love yourself, you love Him, and you know how to forgive, because that's where the fruit is. If you know how to forgive and you can actually live in forgiveness for yourself and others, it solves like 90% of other problems, truthfully. And so I'm just going to end this episode with some prayer, and thank you guys for tuning in. Jesus, I just thank you for your word, God. I thank you that this word is alive and active and that it's sharpening us. God, I thank you that you're so accessible and you've been with us since the beginning, whether or not we were aware of it. And I just pray that every person listening, God, would you show us, is there things that are unresolved in our past? Are there things that are continuing to hold us hostage to this day? And I pray that you would guide us into the healing process of having peace with our past, God, that we would be able to have testimonies, be able to be bold and proclaim them so that we can live out the Great Commission, God, and that we would not just operate out of a place of healing for our own sake and then never sharing with anyone what you've healed us from, God. I pray that we would be a bold generation that shares what you've done, Lord, that even when we're in difficult circumstances, would we have the transparency to say, man, humanity, being a human is hard, but God is greater and it's worth it. And so, God, I thank you because you've given me the space to be able to encourage and prune others. And I just pray that you would continue just to sift through my own things, God, and teach me and highlight what I need to be working on. And I just pray that everyone would filter what I've said through the Holy Spirit, and that you would highlight what each of them need to take from this episode. And so I just give you all the glory, Lord. And I thank you for healing me of my past, and that I can share boldly and with freedom and with joy the things that you've healed me from. And so I thank you, God. I thank you for the cross. I pray that each and every day we would take time to just reflect on how good you are and how your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you, Jesus. I give you all the glory. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you, sweet friends, for listening, for coming back, or if this was your first one, welcome. Thank you. I hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. And I know it's a heavy topic, and just take it to the Lord. And it might not have much today for you, but just keep going to the Lord. And if you do feel like you've healed from your past, that's amazing. And I hope that you do use it as a testimony and ask the Lord to open up opportunities for you to share that with others, because it matters. And people want to know your story because it's going to change their story. So, love y'all. See you on the next episode.